Today, we're going to talk about life. Seems appropriate, doesn't it? Dan said 1973 was the day that Roe v. Wade was passed, legalizing abortion in the United States in all 50 states. January 22nd was that day. And so since then, churches have started using the third Sunday in January to bring awareness. What a horrible thing to have to bring up in church, right? As I was researching doing these things, you know, you just kind of look and see what people have to say about Sanctity of Life Sunday. You know how many pastors get up in front of their church and say, "I hate this"? I hate this, that we have to take this time to educate ourselves and stir up a fire about something, about making sure that people know better than to kill other people using the legal system. It shouldn't be that way, should it? It would be great if we could just not have to worry about this. But here we are. We're talking about life. And you know what? I think the answer to abortion, I think the answer to euthanasia is really simple. As Christians, we need to value what God values. Right? When you, I remember me, what I can tell stories about this all day long, but when I met Miriam, my values changed a little bit. How many of you guys, when you met your wives, your values started to change just a little bit? Yeah? Okay. I have some pretty concrete ways that my values changed when I was in college. In college, where I went to school, we had two places we could go eat. All right? Two different buildings. In one building, they had pasta, and they had pizza, and all kinds of good stuff like that. And in the other building, they had sort of this, they had six different lines of buffet. So they had a main course, they had a sub place, they had a taco bar that, you know, they had to, you know. And the one thing I loved about this is they would have trays and trays and trays of cookies. What college guy doesn't like trays and trays and trays of cookies? And you can see all these freshmen walking in, you know, it's not just one or two. I mean, they made lots of cookies for everybody. I mean, and you see guys grabbing like six or eight of those things and throwing them on their plate, right? And I was no different. I'm serious. You're laughing at me. I was no different. That was half of my lunch right there. Half of the calories I consumed were cookies and desserts and stuff like that. The other half was in pastas and pizza and all that wonderful, wonderful food. And, you know, they had you could go in and they had endless supply of pop. You could go right up to the pop machine or Coke, whatever. They call it Coke there. We call it pop here. But, you know, endless supply. I mean, just. But I met my wife and all of a sudden my values changed. You're laughing at me. Or you just remember it in your own life. Okay, yeah, my values changed. All of a sudden, salad wasn't quite so icky. Oh, they have a salad bar here. I've never noticed that before. I started eating vegetables, developing a taste for things like Brussels sprouts and broccoli, and yeah, my son still shudders. All right. But isn't that funny when we start to care about someone or something that our values change to match the same values as they have? What they hold as important are the things that we hold important. I think if we were really to get a hold of this idea that we need to value what God values, in America, in the world, with Christianity. We could take care of this problem tomorrow. I have met with Christians who are dedicated to their church who still say that abortion is okay. I've had debates in youth groups. Very conservative youth groups about life. And I always, always, always go straight for this idea. We ought to value what God values. I think for Christians, it is important enough for us to value life that we should support causes that we should stand up for, that we should proclaim, and we should fight that fight and march for that march, the march for life. This should not be a question in the church, but oftentimes it is. I wanted to read a verse or read a passage before I jump back to where we're going to camp out. In John 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see, life is integral to the gospel, isn't it? Life is integral to human existence. And when we start valuing what God values, we're going to see some things differently. Our perspectives will change. When we want to know God, when we seriously walk after Him with a heart to know Him, a heart to love Him, a heart to do the things that He does, those types of things, we will value life. I want to take us back, and I want to start us out. When we're talking about these issues, let's start in the beginning. So if you will, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to see why life is so important to God Himself and why we should support it, why we should fight that fight. So if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, toward the end of the chapter, and verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" All right. And then if you look over with me to chapter 3. Was it chapter 3? Nope, sorry. Sorry, get all my verses right here. Here we are. Look in verse 2, chapter 2, starting in verse 5. "When no bush was of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not caused it to rain in the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. All right. When we look at how God created man, God did something different with us than he did with the rest of creation. Right? I mean, most of us have been through Sunday school. Most of us have sat through Roger's lectures, and we know about creation. Right? I'm throwing a bone for you, Roger, there. There we go. But this may be the most foundational passage that we ever come to our Christian lives. This idea that God made man differently than the rest of creation. First of all, God created man in his image. All right, so I'm going to ask you this question, and we have one here that's leaving. He's the one I could ask because he's been through this already recently. Tissue. Okay, good. We talked about this the other day in youth group a couple weeks ago. How is it that man can be made in the image of God if God is a spirit? What does it mean for us to be made in the image of God? I like this. This to me is foundational to faith. Learning where life comes from and how we are like God. I'm going to give you that answer. We can be created in the image of God when God is a spirit and actually has no physical image like we have. When he says we are created in his image, where God is infinite, we are finite. Okay? We're going to start there. Where God is infinite, we are finite. So let's start talking about what God is. Okay, let's start talking about some of the attributes of God. God is, okay, here's one for you, whatever. God is what? Love. Omnipotent. This is the one I was looking for. Omnipotent, okay? What does it mean to be omnipotent? All power. Okay, we're talking about power. When we talk about God's power, we're talking about a lot of things, right? God can do what in his omnipotence? Anything. Okay, give me some specific things. Okay, he can control the weather, right? He does stuff. He creates stuff. How is it that man can be like infinite God in our finiteness when it comes to omnipotence? We create. We do. We have the power. Why do you think we have hands and opposable thumbs? Huh? To do stuff. Absolutely. So, you know, we can do something as simple as flying a paper airplane, folding it up, and throwing it. I mean, that's doing something, right? We have the power to do that, but it's a finite power. Okay? We're limited in what we can do. We're limited by several things. We're limited by what God has already set up, and we're limited by our own selves. Okay? I can't go against the nature or the laws of physics to do anything, right? I can only do what I can do with these things. I'm finite, but God is infinite. Okay, what else? God is not only omnipotent, he's omnipresent, okay? And that means God is everywhere present all at the same time, right? And it's not limited to time. But where God is infinite, I am finite. So what does it mean for me, for God to be omnipresent? What does that mean for me? It means I exist in one spot, but I can also exist in other spots as long as I walk, okay? I take up this space right here, and I can take up space over here. You know, I can take up this space, but I can only do it because I'm finite. I'm limited to where I can be, but I can exist in one space, in one place, in one time. That's what it means. For God to be like God, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere present. He transcends time. He transcends even dimension, if you want to talk about that. God is everywhere. Okay? God is omniscient. Right? God knows all things. And we're limited, and we can know some things, right? That's why we have a brain. That's why we think differently, okay, than just animals. We're not subject to, what is that thing that animals have? Instinct. Thank you very much. It's been a rough week for me, okay? We don't have to worry about instinct. We can think, we can reason. God is omniscient. He is infinite in his knowing. We are finite. You can go through all of God's attributes. When we say God is love, we have the ability to love. When we say God is just, we have the ability to enact justice. Okay? Because God has made us in his image. That's why the Bible can say we are like him. Now, God's image is something that God values very, very deeply. Did you know that? He values that very deeply. Okay. So, for the first statement is we are created in God's image. The second statement is God breathed into Adam the breath of life. So, when God created chickens, okay, what did he do? He spoke, and there was a chicken walking around, clucking, flapping its wings, whatever. Same way with horses and bunnies and dragonflies and whatever, okay? Pick your animal, that's the way it works. With man, God did something completely different. God breathed into him the breath of life, and then man became a living creature. So not only are we created and molded and fashioned after the image of God, but we also have the breath of God. Now, are you starting to see why life is so important? When God created man in the garden, he breathed into him this breath of life, and all of a sudden now, man has this dependent independence from God. We're dependent on God. For example, in Acts, Paul was preaching in Acts chapter 17, and he was pointing out what the heathens know about God, and he was referencing their own poetry and says, "In him we live and breathe and move and have our being," right? I quoted that wrong, but you know what I'm talking about, Acts chapter 17. In him, we're dependent on him, but we live, think, move independently because we are like God. Life is something that God treasures highly because he treasures himself. He values himself. And so when we look at a child in the mother's womb, that child is being formed and fashioned as a human being, carrying the image of God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 9. How many of you know where I'm going already? Genesis chapter 9. Noah, I almost said Moses, and then I almost said Abraham. Noah is getting off the ark in Genesis chapter 9. He's spent about, 11 months on a boat with all the animals, and 40 days and 40 nights in a flood, and then the waters took him almost a year to recede. And he's there, he's jumping off the boat, and God gives Noah some direction. And in chapter 9, in verse 6, it says this: "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for," this is the really important part here, "God made man in his own image." The whole purpose, here's the first mention of government Okay, government is sanctioned in the Bible. I know sometimes we don't like it very much, but here it is. Man, anybody who sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For man was created in the image of God. Okay? What is this saying as it pertains to life? Because this is kind of a strange text, isn't it? To bring up on Sanctity of Life Sunday. Isn't this a strange text to look at? The whole reason for somebody to lose their life is because they took the life of another human. What is that saying about the value that God places on human life? That he treasures it highly. That the image of God is so important. If you hurt that image, bad things happen. Right? If you go after that image, okay, there are consequences. All human life is, in a sense, sacred. You know why? Because we are created in the image of God, and God gave us the breath of life differently than he gave the rest of creation. God values it. I have missed so many things here. We'll see if we can jump back through and cover them all. As we look at how God values life, now I want you to start thinking about what it means for the gospel. What is the gospel again? That God gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should have life. All right? Again, we're back here in Genesis, and we're looking at the beginning of all things. And what did man do with his life? He disobeyed God, and he died. Adam was created to live forever. But he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and therefore he died. And so every human being has that problem. We don't have life forever. Unless what? Unless we become born again. There's another aspect of life that God wants us to be involved with. You see, it would have been easy. It would have been right for God to just say, you know what, Adam? You messed up. Let me start again. Did God do that? No, he didn't. Instead, he chose to save that life, didn't he? And so as the scripture tells us down through history how God sought to get man in fellowship, he looked one day to when Jesus would be here and would come and sacrifice and give his life as a ransom for ours so that we could then live. What does that tell you about the value of our own human life? I think life is something God treasures highly. Now, let's go back to the illustration at the beginning. If we as Christians valued what God values, if we were to treasure what God treasures, what does that look like? What does it mean for us on a day like Sanctity of Life when we speak out, we take this time to speak out against abortion, we take this time to speak out against euthanasia? What does it mean for us? I know some of us are actively involved in life-giving service. Some of us are out there talking to people about Jesus and using what God has given us to tell people about the life that they can have. I know there are some of us in here who are active when it comes to supporting things like specialty clinics. There are people here who do that. But what does it mean individually for me? What can I do? Is this a fight I should go out of my way and fight? Is this something I should treasure that highly that it takes my Christian life and it picks it up? You see, life is wrapped into the gospel. It's wrapped into what we do. It's wrapped into our relationship with Jesus. All these things come together. This is why Christians should fight hard for life. Not ugly. Why is it that we should fight hard and not ugly? Because of the image of God in man. This is why Ephesians chapter 4, at the end, when it starts talking about being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God and for Christ's sake has forgiven you, becomes so special. Because the foundation of all of it is the image of God in man. This is why Christians should always treat other people, not just other Christians, other people, with dignity and respect. Always, because it's about the image of God in man. This is why Christians fight hard but not ugly for life. This is why it's not okay for us to walk down to an abortion clinic with a bomb, as some have done. But it is okay for us to go out there and to find people who are in trouble, who find people like the people that Lex Specialty Clinic ministers to, and help them. Help them understand the value of the life that they have and the life that's in them. So I'm just going to leave it there. Instead of kind of going back over my notes, I have so many verses. But let me challenge you to do this. One way you can fight is to support Lex Specialty Clinics, and I'm going to encourage you to do that. But how else is it that Grace Life Church, that this family here, can fight for life? How is it that we can treasure what God treasures? How is it? There's a lot of things that we can do. I saw somebody mouth prayer. We can pray. Absolutely, we should be praying. We can treat people. We can love people like God tells us to, right? What does God tell us to do? I mean, when we think about everything that God has told us in the Scripture, and he even boils it down for us, he says what? Love God supremely and love your neighbor as yourself. And who are our neighbors? The Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. What did he do? His neighbors were the people who had a need. Right? We can find people with needs and help. That's what we're to do. We're to show people love. That's what we can do. How often do we take a moment and think through our day? How can I love this person? How can I love that person? Do you ever pray for God to bring people into your life who have troubles and struggles and trials? Because God can use you to help, and sometimes that takes a major sacrifice. Sometimes it hurts to do that. Sometimes it's not fun to walk with somebody where they are and to get into their lives and help them through their messiness. That's what we can do. We can talk to people about Jesus. Why would I want to talk to people about Jesus? Because he's the one who gives life. He's the one who treasures life. He sacrificed Jesus for life. And so the challenge, I want you to think, to consider, I want you to meditate upon what it means for us to be created in the image of God, for everyone else to be created in the image of God, to have that breath of life in them. What does it mean for me to love them? What does it mean for me to value them? Be creative, because God is creative. And let's minister to those around us, and let's fight hard for this life. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, I know that this is such a serious subject for us to consider, for us to look at. And I thank you that when you chose to make us, you made us like you. But Lord, I'm afraid sometimes we don't take advantage of that. I think we get stuck in our day. I think we get tired. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us and lift us up, help us to meditate and to think on the things that we've learned. And that you would direct us into the area where we can best fight for life. Help us to look for the opportunities to love people and be encouraging. And I pray that when we fight this fight, we're never ugly about it, but we're always passionate. And God, I pray that you develop that passion in our hearts to love folks. We thank you in Jesus' name.